Great. Thank you. Nice to see everybody again. And I said in the first session, it's a beautiful day here in Ontario. I don't know what kind of day you're having in Vancouver, but it's always a good day to know that our Heavenly Father sits on a majestic throne in heaven, and he rules over the affairs of men. We heard a few things about the calamities in the world, and let us not be dismayed. Our God is on the throne, and he does all things well. Now, I'd like for you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me. I'm not even going to tell you the text. You're going to have to figure it out, okay? It's the most famous verse in all the Bible. Okay? Some of you already know that, right? This is the verse that you learned in Sunday school. This is the verse that if you ever went to a children's program, you learned it. This is a verse that you might see somebody holding up something at the ball game, and it's got a Bible verse on it. This is probably the most famous verse in all the Bible. And if you haven't guessed it by now, it's John 3:16. Okay, let's turn there in our Bibles to John 3:16. Now, what the Lord has laid on my heart today for this session is that I believe there's a misunderstanding about what we call salvation. And I can begin to understand why there's some confusion, because there's so many different ideas that so many different preachers have to say, what must you do to be saved? Well, any of us that have been around any kind of evangelical preaching, we know that was the question that was asked by a jailer one night to the Apostle Paul, who was in jail that night. And the jailer said, in the midst of all the confusion and earthquakes and darkness and everything else, he asked the question, what must I do to be saved? And the answer rang clear as a bell. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Now, that's pretty simple. But it's not so simple, perhaps, to understand what believe means. Do I believe in it that there's a moon and a sun? Do I believe that the earth is round? Do I believe that my car is going to start when I get in it? Do I believe that if I eat certain foods, I'm going to have an allergic reaction? Do I belief is accepting certain things that you know that is true. And if you've experienced that, if you've already gone through that, if you know how something operates or what something is all about, you can say, I believe in that. Well, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I just want to help you this morning to understand that salvation is more than saying, I believe in Jesus. Yep, I believe. Yep, I heard that one time. And so I believe in Jesus, so I must be saved. Number one, do we know what belief means? Number two, do we know what saved means? So anyhow, I'm going to start with the most famous verse in all the Bible. You're already there. John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16. What maybe you didn't know is that the most famous verse in all the Bible that tells us how to have everlasting life was given to an audience of, no, not 5,000, no, not 4,000, not even 400, not even 100, not even 50, The audience that day was one person. His name was Nicodemus, a teacher, a ruler of the Jews, a rabbi, if you please. And that was the audience when Jesus actually quoted this verse to him. Now, I'm going to read a number of verses, and I hope you have your Bibles open to John 3:16, because they're going to all be all kind of clustered together there. And we want to look at the way this word believe is used. Okay, let's read first of all, verse 15. John chapter 3, verse 15, Jesus is speaking, and he says that whoever believes in him, that is Jesus Christ himself, the Son of Man, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Got it? Believes in him. Verse 16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes, there it is, in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay, look at verse 18. We're looking at the word believe. Verse 18. He who believes in him, that's Jesus, is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Got it? Now, let's move to chapter 3 at the end of the chapter, verse 36. He who believes in the Son, that's the Lord Jesus, has everlasting life. He who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. I'm going to just turn the page, maybe two pages, to chapter 6. Hold your hand back here in chapter 3. Go to chapter 6 and look at verse 47. Verse 47, Jesus speaking again, and he says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Okay, now back to chapter 3. Wow, we've got it in verse 15, believe in him. We've got it in verse 16, believe in him. We got it in verse 18, three times the word believe. And then we've got it in verse 36. Twice, believe or not believe, and then we got it in John 6 and 47. This is a must to understand what this word means. You just got to get it. Now, I'm going to show you right in your Bible what the definition of that word is. I'm just going to read a verse here and then go, oh, that's what belief is. Yep, you got it. It's just like that. Now, turn back a page to John chapter 1 and look at verse 12. Chapter 1, verse 12. As many as receive him. Now that's Jesus. That's the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Savior. As many as receive him, to them, to those that receive him, he gave the right to become the children of God. And then notice the last part. This is our definition. What does it mean to receive him? It's to those who believe in his name. Now back to chapter 3. You see, let's don't make this hard. Believing is receiving. You got that? Believing is not, okay, I think that's probably right. Yeah, okay, that's right. I believe that. No, no, no. The word believe itself means, are you listening? To trust, to have faith in a person, in this context, Christ, to entrust yourself to that person, to commit yourself to that person, to put your faith and trust in that person. So whenever the Bible talks about believing, let's understand what it means. It means I know who Jesus is. I have heard the gospel message. I understand that God sent Jesus to pay the penalty for my sin. What's the penalty for my sin? Well, sin separates us from God. The wages of sin is death. A physical death, spiritual death, eternal death. And Jesus steps in, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. If I want my sins forgiven, what do I need to do? Well, the Bible says, what do I need to do? Believe on the Lord Jesus. What does that mean? Receive him. What does that mean? Trust him. Not just say, I believe there's God. Not just say, Jesus was a historical figure, and I think there's enough evidence to prove that some man called Jesus 2,000 years ago actually lived and died on the cross. No, it's not that. You personalize that. You accept that when God showed you his love, and he did that through sending his son, the Lord Jesus, you accept that your sin condemned you, your sin separated you from God, and God says, I have a remedy for that. If you would like to be saved from the penalty of your sin, if you would like to have new life, if you would like to know that you can go to heaven and have everlasting life, then you need to accept, receive, are you listening to me? Trust with all of your heart the Lord Jesus Christ as your own Savior. Okay, now I hope you got that. This is not what some people call easy believism. You know what that is? That's like, how many people would like to be saved today? Just raise your hand. No, it's not that. No. Just pray this prayer and Jesus will come into your heart. No, it's not that. Okay. We're talking about something serious. We're talking about owning it. We're talking about realizing my sin really has condemned me and I'm under judgment and I need to do something about that. And what the Bible says I need to do is believe. And that means receive, trust, have faith in. My only hope, I got no plan B. I got no other plan at all. It's only my hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood that he shed on the cross, his death and his resurrection for me. That's my hope. Okay, now you're in John chapter 3. I want to explain a couple of things for you that will, I hope will encourage you to make this decision today. You see, this one person that Jesus gave this most famous verse in all the Bible to, Jesus said to him, you've got to be born again. He didn't know what that meant. Jesus is explaining that to him. And in part of the explanation, he says in verse 14 of John chapter 3, he says, it's like when Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Ah, teacher of the law, Nicodemus. Rabbi, ruler, he knows the Old Testament. He knows, Numbers chapter 21. I know what Jesus is talking about. Moses and the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness and they sinned against God. And God sent fiery serpents as a judgment to them. And the serpents were biting the people and the people were dying. And the people cried out to Moses and said, pray that God would take the serpents away. We've sinned, they said. God prayed, or sorry, Moses prayed, God answered the prayer. Well, how did he answer the prayer? He said, Moses, here's what I want you to do. I want you to make a serpent out of brass. I want you to put it on a pole in the middle of the camp. And everyone who's been bitten by a fiery serpent, when they look at the serpent of brass, they will be healed. And the story goes on to say that every person who admitted that they were a sinner and who believed that God said, all you have to do is look at this serpent of brass and you will be healed. They looked at the serpent of brass. Everyone that looked was healed. Now, Nicodemus knew that story. Okay. Now, notice what he says. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You know that picture of that, or that serpent in the wilderness was a picture of Jesus. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent, then the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus, he's got to be lifted up. Now he's on a cross. And the Bible goes on to say, look at verse 15, here's the connection. As people looked at the serpent of brass in the wilderness, look at verse 15, whoever believes in Jesus should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the picture was given. The truth is that they must believe, they must receive, they must accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Now, that gets a real blessing. You see, the Israelite just got healed from a snake bite. In a sense, I suppose, we can get healed from a snake bite too. You see, it was the serpent in the Garden of Eden that tricked Adam and Eve into believing a lie, and sin entered in that day. In a sense, we've all been bitten by the serpent. Sin entered in, and it's passed on to all men, and all need to be saved. The Israelite got saved from a physical snake bite, but you and I can be saved from the punishment, from the condemnation of sin in our life as sinners. If we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be saved from sin. Whoever believes in him is not going to perish. They're going to have eternal life. That's in verse 16. Notice it again. God loved the world so much, what did he do? He gave. You know, probably John 3:16 has been preached on as much or more than any other verse in the Bible. You can outline it. You can describe it. You can do an exposition of it. You can take it word by word, syllable by syllable, et cetera, and et cetera. But let me just break it down into three little points here. Point number one, John 3:16, we see God's great love. Great love. How do we know that? Well, another place in the Bible says God showed us his love. How did he do that? By sending the Lord Jesus to die for our sins. So I say God's great love. Notice God so loved the world. And then we got God's great gift that he gave his only begotten son. That's wonderful. One more thing, God's great promise that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now I want you to notice the contrast, the word perish and the word everlasting life. Now, the word perish means to be separated, means to be separated forever in this context. Some people think that, well, if you don't become a Christian, you just cease to exist and that's the end of the thing. And no, the Bible is very clear. Just quickly, hold your hand here and just quickly turn with me, please, to the book of Daniel, Old Testament, Daniel, way back in Daniel. And I want you to notice chapter 12, please. Daniel chapter 12. We won't take long, but I just want you to notice what perish and everlasting life are. They are contrary to one another. they are in contrast to one another. Daniel chapter 12, and at the end of verse 1, just at the end of verse 1, everyone who is found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. I'm in verse 2. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, go back to John 3. This is the difference between perishing and everlasting life. The Bible is very clear that all people on the earth are going to go into eternity forever. Some are going into everlasting life. Are you listening to me now? Some are going into everlasting, are you listening? Death. Yes, death. I'll show you that. I'll show you what I'm talking about. Turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, please. Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 16. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke, chapter 16. He tells the story of a rich man and a poor man. And the rich man did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but the poor man did. And it came a time when both of them died. Look at verse 22. So it was that the beggar, the poor man, died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, or by Abraham, in the presence of Abraham, Abraham's side, okay? The rich man also died and was buried. Notice, and being in torments in Hades, that is, I'm going to call that hell, just for a better description, he lifted up his eyes, that is, this rich man who's in torment, lifted up his eyes, and he saw Abraham way off there. And he saw Lazarus, the poor man, by his side. Verse 24, then he cried and said, Abraham, have mercy on me. Send the poor man, send Lazarus, that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm in torment, or I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, son, remember in your lifetime, you received all the good things, and the poor man, Lazarus, all the wrong, the evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great chasm, a great gulf, and it's fixed, so that one is on one side, can't pass to the other side. Then verse 27, he said, I beg you, Father, that you would send the poor man to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he might testify to them, lest they also come to this place. Notice the language of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one should go to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Do you know anyone that rose from the dead? I do. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, let's put this in perspective. You have a choice today to make. The choice is admit that you're a sinner, and admit that Jesus is the only Savior, and then believe in him. What does that mean? Receive him, okay? Have faith in him. Put your confidence in him. Trust him to be your only way to have sins forgiven and life eternal, because, are you listening? The options are not that great. We read it If you trust Christ, you won't perish. What does perish mean? It means in a conscious state of eternal separation, are you listening, and torment forever from God. That's the option. You say, well, surely that wouldn't be true. Yes, it is. I want you to turn to the book of Revelation with me, chapter 20, please. Revelation and chapter 20, last book of the Bible, almost the last chapter, chapter 20. I want you to notice, and I'll read in verse number 10, verse number 10. Revelation 20, verse 10, the devil who deceived the nations was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophets are. Now notice, watch your Bible, and they will be, you remember where the rich man was in Hades and hell, and the rich man was tormented? Listen to these words. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. You say, well, okay, that's the bad guy. That's the devil, and that's his angels. And I understand that God wouldn't do that to regular people. God wouldn't do that to human beings. God wouldn't do, well, let me remind you, I want you to notice something now. Chapter, verse 10, same verse. The devil who deceived them, where was he cast? Where was he put? He was thrown in, are you watching your Bible, to the lake of fire and brimstone. Go down, please, to verse 15, same chapter. Anyone not found written in the book of life, guess where they go? Where do they go? They were cast into the lake of fire. You see, God prepared the lake of fire and hell for the devil, not for you. He didn't prepare that for you. But if you refuse to believe, receive, trust, accept Christ as your Savior, the Bible, this is not uncertain. This is certain. This is the truth. This is what happens in that final judgment. Some are raised to life everlasting. Others are raised to death and torment everlasting. Torment means misery, anguish, torture, pain. Oh, dear friend, please listen to the warning of Scripture. Whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ shall not go to the lake of fire. They will not perish. But those who don't trust the Lord Jesus will. Go back to John chapter 3, our verse. God loved the world. God sent his son, gave his son. If you believe, you will not perish. You will have everlasting life. Look at verse 17, John 3, 17. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The Savior of the world has come. Verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned, not condemned, not judged, not sentenced, not damned, not determined, not convicted, not thrown into the lake of fire. He who believes in him is not condemned. But look at the warning. But he who does not believe is condemned already. Why is he condemned already? The Bible answers that question. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's why. Listen, every sin that man has ever committed, ever, ever, can be forgiven, except one. There's one sin that is not ever going to be forgiven. that you will not believe in the Son of God. That sin cannot be forgiven. Look at verse 19. This is the condemnation. This is the judgment. This is why you are condemned. Notice, light has come into the world. Who is light? Jesus said, I'm the light. Light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Listen, don't make this hard. This God has made it so simple that a child can say, yes, I know I've done things wrong, and I know that I want Jesus as my Savior, and I believe he died for me, and I believe on the third day he rose again, and I want him to be my Savior. And the Bible is very clear. Anyone who believes, receives, accepts, trusts, has their faith in Jesus, you know what happens? They're not going to perish. They're not going to perish. But if you grit your teeth, you in anger and rebellion and resentment say, I am not going to believe, then I can tell you what will happen. I can be 100% accurate. Are you listening? You will be cast into the lake of fire with the devil and his angels. Wasn't prepared for you. You choose that over salvation in Christ. What should I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you won't perish. You won't be cast into the lake of fire. You'll have everlasting life. You'll have your sins forgiven. You'll be with the Lord in heaven forever and ever. You choose to reject that, you will be tormented day and night in total darkness, separated from God forever and ever. Can't believe God gives us a choice. Make sure you make the right choice today. We're not trying to get you to join a church or give your money. We're telling you, flee the wrath to come. Trust Christ is your Savior today. Let's pray. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior today, and you want to, then in your heart, tell the Lord you believe him. Tell the Lord you accept him. Tell the Lord you trust him to forgive you of your sins and take you to heaven one day with him. Tell the Lord you want a new life on earth and the guarantee of being with him when he comes. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Amen.